Save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
You know what that tastes like?
What?
Wine that we opened 5 days ago and have left in the fridge.
I'm pretty sure it goes bad after 5 days.
Yum, 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 yum. Tasty.
You had nothing else left?
It's called fermenting. No, I do have some left. It's just I'm saving my bourbon. You know?
Oh, for a special occasion?
Yeah.
Is podcasting not special? Is pumping out that content for our good listeners not...
Is something that you do every single week not a special occasion? Get out of here.
I don't have notifications on for the Crunch Facebook page.
Really? I do.
Wait. No, I do. I don't have that update from you or the update from Andrew Jordan.
Patrick, I'm going to tell you right now, the more distracted that you get during this podcast, the longer it's going to take me to edit.
Oh.
We got to stay in the flow.
Okay, all right. I close all my tabs.
Thank you.
And I'm going to turn off my cell phone. I'm going to turn my cell phone to podcasting mode.
Set thrusters to podcast.
set phasers to podcast. Oh my gosh. How are you?
That's never going to not make me laugh, is the set blank to podcast, no matter what it is. Put the bus in podcast and let's go. Shift the bus down into podcast. It's that P on the Prindle is for podcast.
It's for podcast. Just throw it in podcast.
Okay.
And how step on the gas.
I'm doing well. A little tired. A little not very super normal. Ready for anything. We drove seven hours today from Nebraska. So we went to Nebraska to see Emma's family. We'd see our grandpa on Friday night, and then we were there Friday night and then Saturday and kind of had a Thanksgiving-ish dinner with her grandpa on Saturday, and then drove up to Omaha because he lives in a small town in southeastern Nebraska. We drove up to Omaha, and then we were there on Sunday, and then we kind of left this morning. I worked in the car, which is not my favorite thing to do. To hotspot my laptop on my phone. And
is that like, when I called you? I was like, hey.
I was driving. I was driving at that point. So I tried to work in the morning this morning. And then when I got as much done as I could get done, realistically, without pulling my hair out in the car, Emma and I switched. So, and then, just been here, been hanging out. Emma made herself a cheese quesadilla when she got home. I wasn't very hungry. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to shower and I'm going to podcast. And that's going to be my... Man does not live on quesadillas alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Pat.
Of podcasts. Yes. My food is to do the podcast of the one who sent me.
Indeed.
This is good.
Command these stones to turn into podcasts.
That one was the best one.
Thanks.
It's funnier because it's like the devil commanding it. It is. Command these stones to make more podcasts. Oh man, I'm going on vacation tomorrow. This is why really? We needed a podcast today.
We had to.
I'm flying home to Florida. We got an incredibly cheap, an under $40 plane ticket per
You're
person
kidding.
Per way.
Wow!
Yes, direct flight from Pittsburgh to the airport that is 5 minutes from my house.
You're joking.
No, it
wow.
was the perfect situation.
How did you snack that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Was it Phoebe's United connection or was it?
No, it wasn't. It's just Allegiant. It's like a really, it's like obviously a budget airline. So like we have to like pack one bag and, you know, we had to like pay for the bag and all that stuff. But like,
how long are you going to be there?
We're going to be there for like a week and a half.
Nice.
It's going to be so nice.
$160 yeah. bucks?
Uh-huh.
What a deal.
It's so good. It's so good. And I'm really excited because I'm just going to spend the week. I don't have to work. I'm just going to write about religious liberty for my paper that's due at the end of the semester.
Nice.
I was like really worried about, I was like, oh no, I'm going on vacation and I have this paper that's due right after vacation. And I was like, wait a second, I'm Patrick Nevy. I'm going to want to write the paper on vacation. Yes. I'm going to wake up and be like, I'm going to think about religious liberty and what it means. But I want to podcast about it. Maybe we could podcast about it. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe we can warm up. This is the first Thanksgiving in a long time where I'm like not really into it.
No, you're not feeling thankful?
Not that.
Oh, okay.
You know, can we talk about how just awful the whole, you know, gratitude thing is?
Yeah, I don't want state mandated thankfulness.
That is the thing. It's like everybody, you walk into a store now and it's like you're trying to buy milk and, you know, Walmart's like, give thanks. And it's like, okay, all right. Thank you for the milk.
Thanks for the milk, I guess. Jeez,
signs
back off.
Everywhere. Yeah.
My goodness.
This poultry's talking to me.
I can't believe all these companies are spending money to tell me to be thankful for things while I give them money.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What is this exchange? I'm paying for you to tell me to give thanks. That's what's happening.
The corporate civic calendar is very odd in its messaging because on the one hand, we've got Thanksgiving season, which is at every turn demanding you to
be thankful.
To be thankful. Well, at the same time, we're in this Venn diagram where it's doing the holiday ramp up.
Yeah.
And it's just everywhere. Joyful. Happy. Celebrate.
If we have a
joy. Peace.
I remember the moment I became disillusioned. I was sitting in a Staples. An office mask.
An
Office Max.
An Office Mask sounds like something that was...
Anyway. Sounds like something that we all pretend is still required I forgot it in my car.
That's a fact. Hey, can we just talk secret real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Nobody's wearing masks in Pittsburgh, are they?
No. One's wearing masks in Pittsburgh.
Okay, because no one's wearing masks in Oklahoma, and I just am worried.
Here's the thing.
People still seems to think that there are people wearing masks somewhere, but I just don't know where those people are.
I mean, like, I was telling, we were at a retreat this weekend, and masks were required indoors. And I was like, except when you're sleeping. And I'm like, okay. So in that cabin full of boys, they have to wear masks when they're sitting next to each other inside, except when they're sleeping near each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't... If someone here has COVID, we're, like, all getting COVID. You know, that's like...
Yeah.
That's just
everyone's accepted that risk.
That's what's happening now. You know?
Yeah.
That's just the reality. Yeah.
What were you saying? You were saying something about Office Max.
Oh, Office Max. I was sitting in Office Mask and that one was on purpose. And I remember the moment I became disillusioned. I was sitting and waiting for a copy job to be done. And everyone was standing there in complete silence and just did not want to be there. And the store was completely empty. And so the music was echoing and it was Train, their Christmas album, and it was just the guy from Train in his Hey Soul Sista voice.
Yeah.
Was just like, shake up the happiness. Yeah, it's Christmas time. And I was like, this is the most depressing thing. We're listening to this like corporate approved manufactured Christmas music that's telling me to shake up the happiness. Whatever that means.
I'm not entirely sure. I'm tired of the government mandating happiness. I'm not getting my first shot of happiness. I'm not getting my second shot of happiness.
And every time
I'm not getting
this
my
up,
booster shot of happiness. I'm done.
When I bring this up, I feel like I'm being a jerk and everyone's like, oh, you're being a Scrooge. And I'm like, but like, it's like, what? Like, I'll tell you that I'm wrong if you can tell me what it means to shake up happiness. What does it mean? Is it a snow globe related thing?
Joy. Can you imagine going back 300 years? And like making someone walk down a fluorescent lit aisle full of sugar cereal and then just a big sign above that just says joy. What do you think they'd feel?
And they're like,
in that moment,
why are you advertising
something that I experience with my family and small village community every single day? Why do you need a large snowman to tell you to do this?
Why do you need a large, not real snowman in 70 degree weather to tell me to not to feel joy? reminding me that joy exists.
Why do you need a snowman who's dressed like no one has dressed for 100 years telling you?
The person from 300 years ago is saying, why is that snowman dressed like people from the future? Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point.
It's like if we saw a snowman dressed in, like, I don't know, an aluminum jumpsuit with like a weird hat on, because that's how people dress in the future.
Yeah, Frosty the Snowman, but he's chrome.
I've been struck several times throughout the past day with just feelings of complete emptiness and I don't know what it's called, like capitalist nihilism. It's just I just recognize the inherent emptiness. And for instance, I was looking at my empty plastic water bottle that I just used and planned on throwing away and not reusing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was
because you're an American, patriot,
and I was a little thirsty, and so I decided to waste. I decided to waste something instead of just get a cup, a reusable cup. I was looking at the little white block, right next to the name section of the bottle, and it said, "If you are not completely satisfied with this Kirkland signature product, you are entitled to a complete refund.
If you have not reached the Aristotelian."
That's all I could think. Perfection. I was like, if you have not achieved the human end of complete happiness after finishing this water bottle.
If this water bottle has not helped you achieve your
tea loss. Product, you get a complete refund of whatever 1/24th of $5 is.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, why? Who got paid to design this? And what did they feel?
Completely satisfied.
If you're not completely satisfied.
Completely satisfied.
I was like, if you thirst again after drinking this water, you are entitled to a complete refund.
Jesus hands the woman at the well a Kirkland signature water bottle. You will never thirst again.
Man. And like, I was remembering, because at my talk that I gave on the fall retreat, the Pittsburgh fall retreat this past week, I was talking to these kids about like, the false freedom that people sell.
Oh yeah, oh they're selling.
And how I'm like, you need to know this before your actions have real consequences. I was like, you have to understand that the stuff that you're filling yourself with is not going to be it's not going to satisfy you. You want more money, you're going to get more money, then you're going to want more money. It's like Jesus says, like, if you drink water, you're going to be thirsty again. If you keep looking to the things of this world to fill you, you're just going to want more of it later. He's like, you need the water that comes from Jesus, that comes from the side of Jesus crucified. And I was thinking about that, and then I looked at this water bottle, and I was like, I don't understand how this happened. I don't know if I'm being overly cynical or morose or another word, but or some other third thing. But I was just like, man, this water, this is what's wrong with society.
I want to get back to my original thought, which is, no, it's okay. This is a good, this was a nice little scenic route that we just took to get to where we're going.
Emma's working on Thanksgiving. Why is that snowman dressed like the future?
Emma's working on Thanksgiving and on Black Friday because, and Thursday's also Emma's birthday. Thanksgiving's her birthday. So not only is the hospital scheduling my wife away from me, but it's Thursday, it's Thanksgiving and Black Friday are like these 2 days where it's like, I feel no religious obligation to not work, right? Like,
yeah,
I have no reason other than culturally, which is like fine. Cultural, doing something because the culture does it is a fine reason to do things in some cases.
Sure.
I'm not going to work, even though I would have no problem with working, because no one would respond to my phone calls or emails. So that would be ridiculous.
You get a bunch of autoresponders.
On the other hand, I'm thinking of trying to figure out what to do on these days. I've got a couple of projects that I'm working. I need to restain a table that I built. I need to maybe vacuum. I could read some things. I'm thinking about maybe writing something. I could use my typewriter. I want your take on what Ethan should do on Thursday and Friday this week when his wife is working at the hospital for 2 days straight, because he doesn't know what to do. So what do you think? Give me some, help me out here.
I think all of those options are good.
Okay. What productive, do I do when I'm done, productive. When I'm done with those?
Productive leisure, or what is it, like active leisure? I don't know.
Leisure. Restaining leisure a table is looking for.
What is it?
What leisure is just the
just regular old leisure.
Just leisure. Yeah.
Not electronic leisure. Ethan. I need to confess something to you. I've rediscovered Game Boy emulators. Anyway, and by that I mean I rediscovered the file on my the folder on my computer that holds all my emulators. Anyway.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's bad.
Delete.
I can't do it. I work so hard.
Yes, you can.
I work so hard downloading them for free.
Delete it right now. Delete it right now. You're scared.
I will. Just
no, you won't.
I did it. Look, I just did it right now.
No, screen share. Delete it.
No, I don't want
to. You're scared. Boo.
I'm scared to do what I want to be. No, I'll do it.
I feel like Matt Fred forcing people to smash their smartphones on his podcast.
What did he say?
I stopped listening to podcasts last week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, but in the past several episodes of Pints with Aquinas, Matt Fred would have a guest on and just say, I'll give you a hammer right now and you can smash your iPhone. Like he just tries to pressure people into breaking their expensive pocket computers. It's very funny.
That's really funny.
Yeah, delete your Game Boy emulator.
Do it okay, right now. I'll do it right now. But if I do it right now, you have to edit it.
All right, don't do it.
Okay.
I would rather you be addicted to an electronic thing than make me have to do more editing.
Honestly, I just did it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I just pulled it up. So
I can stop at any time, and that time is right now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Did it. Heart gold halfway through. Who cares? Not going to miss it.
This is, I think, an interesting question. What is a form of leisure or maybe a productive use of my time that you think I don't do enough of?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know enough about how you spend your active leisure time.
I brag about it on this podcast every week.
Oh, I guess you could just do more of that then. Reading is good. Like, that's the thing about, here's the thing is like whenever you say you're bored, boredom is good.
Boredom's good. Don't
people are always like, oh, just be bored.
Yeah.
No. You don't have to be bored if you don't want to.
No, bored.
What you do have to do is you have to bring a book everywhere. that's true. Like, if you really don't want to be bored that bad, just bring a book everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Reading is good. There's never nothing to read. That's the thing.
That's true. I have enough books around here that I could.
There's never nothing to read. If I was stronger and a better man than I am, I would just buckle down to like do the no buying new books in 2022 challenge and just read all of the books that I have.
Yeah.
I've
been trying to do that.
I would have to like exclude some books because it's like, okay, this book is very clearly a reference book. For instance, I own all of the Church Fathers. So like,
yes.
Am I going to read that? No, I'm not going to do that. But
I think as long as you have a habit of reading more books in a month than you purchase, you'll eventually catch up and you'll be okay. So right now I'm averaging like 2 to 3 books a month and I only buy one book a month.
Mm.
So eventually I'll catch up to myself, you know?
That's fair.
But it's like I'm planning for the future. It's like investing.
It's like investing. I'm going to get dividends in the future.
I've created a Fidelity account with my bookshelf.
I want to do 2022, another 100 book challenge. I really want to because I didn't do.
I don't think that's the best thing though.
What? But it was so fun.
Yes, but you're just consuming the whole time and you're reading these little ebooks that were barely books. You know?
No, I wasn't.
And you didn't have any time to digest the thing that you had read because you had to move on to the next thing to read.
No, what if you read?
What if you read 5 really good books over and over and over again?
Only 5 books in 2022 challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's an interesting point because you go back and read something that's like legitimate literature or a very powerful. Like if you read Story of a Soul and let's see, what's a good classic like Count of Monte Cristo, and I'm trying to think of some other books. The Iliad, and then maybe a Shakespeare play, and then, I don't know, something like The Power of Silence by Cardinal Seurat.
Sure.
And you just read those 5 books.
Jesus of Nazareth.
That's good. Like something by Benedict. You read those 5 books just kind of over and over again, and you just let all the concepts just seep into your mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think that would be as fruitful as reading 100 books in a year?
That might be good. I might say, like, I'm only going to read these 5 books over and over and over again, like Cardinal Donardo does with the Church Fathers.
Exactly.
He like just starts over from the beginning.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
That's like crazy.
I'm not saying you have to do that, but I've thought about doing like trying to really push myself to read more books. But it's like, man, I like taking my time with these little guys, you know?
Yeah, but I wasn't just consuming little ebooks that didn't mean anything. I really did try hard to be like, okay, I want to read books that count and matter, you know? And a lot
you were
of
the booming through audiobooks though. You were doing like triple speed, you know?
Yes. Yeah,
which
there
I
was
feel
all
like is,
there was all a lot
of, crazy,
and
I don't know how you can
and,
digest an audiobook. It doesn't make sense to me.
And it is paid off because I'm doing that thing with Equipped where I'm summarizing those books that I was reading in 2020 for money.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me about how you're making money by reading lots of books.
I'm summarizing leadership books for the Catholic group. Oh my gosh, I should talk about this on the podcast. I need to talk about
Hold
this on the
a
podcast.
I want to be in the Catholic leadership group. You always do stuff without me.
That's because every 6 months you're like, I'm never doing anything. And then 6 months later, you're like, I'm going to do things.
That's true.
I'm going to do things now. You're like, giving talk is a sin. And then like 6 months later, you're like, I guess it's probably good if I do that.
What happens is I need to go and like pare down all the things in my life and like stop sinning in all these ways.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I've got more room to do things. And then I add those things and I'm like, oh no, I'm sinning in new ways. And
oh no. I'm so creative in finding new ways to sin.
So smart.
So because of the failed Bonaventures book club thing, a good friend of the show, Taylor Schroll, reached out and said, hey, I have a buddy who is doing something similar to what you were doing, but with leadership books. And you get a book every month. I think maybe 3 books a month. I'm not sure. It is 3 books a month. You get 3 books a month. Three book summaries.
Fake books.
Yeah. So that it's for people who don't have time to read the actual reading. I think it's good. It's especially good for leadership books because leadership books have a lot of fluff in them. You know, like I was reading this book called Essentialism and
it sounds like a book that doesn't have very many good points.
No, it has exactly like 24 good points. And ironically, you could distill those points into a 5-page summary of a 200-page book. The rest of the book is like, the Stanford Prison Experiment is the most crazy experiment that ever happened one time. And it talks about how you need to not do too many things at once. And it's like stuff like that where it's just like fluffy stories that are like basic Gladwellian, you know, just cliches. Anyway, I distilled that book down into its component parts. I apply it to ministry. And I'm like, the book is like, there's essentialism and there's non-essentialism. Non-essentialism is, I'm going to do as many things as I can. I'm going to try and cram everything in. And essentialism is, only do the things that are essential. I'm like, okay, cool. That makes sense. That makes sense to like apply to ministry, you know? And so I applied it to ministry and that book summary goes up on it went up on the thing and people read it. And they didn't have to read. They didn't have to spend money and read the whole book. So you can go to getequipped.us, getequipped.us, and you can sign up for Equipped. I don't really care if you use my referral link, but I'll send it to Ethan and put it in the show notes. If I get a bunch of people to sign up, I get like a bonus or whatever.
Nice. Do you get paid regardless of how many people sign up?
I get paid for the book summaries regardless of how many people get
signed up. I'm going to say this because you're getting paid anyway. People should just not read leadership books.
No. I think people should read these summaries of leadership books. They're very good.
Well, yeah, because you have to say that.
Yeah.
But
no, I wrote them. They're very good.
Yes, I believe that. I don't think leadership books should even exist.
I disagree with you wholeheartedly.
What did people do before there were leadership books? How did Alexander the Great get so good if he didn't read Malcolm Gladwell? You know, how did he figure that out? It's riddle me. You don't have an answer. You don't know.
I don't know. I'm not responding to your question because I think it's a weird and stupid question.
It's a stupid question. You're right.
But no, I think leadership books are good.
I'm trying to start a conversation about the quality of leadership books, and you're not engaging.
No,
with
I'm not engaging
this.
These books.
I'm trying to do a podcast with you, and you're
the three categories are basically, you know, ministry, spirituality, and evangelization. So it matches up with priest, prophet, and king. And so these book summaries, it's really great. So it's like, okay, you want to read, you know, The Interior Castle by Teresa of Avila. And you're like, I have no idea what she's saying. Read the book summary, and then you'll have a little bit of a guide map when you read the actual book. Yes. Ethan is nodding his head to read the actual book. For everything except the leadership books, I think you should read the actual book. Like, Forming Intentional Disciples, read the actual book.
Read the book.
But, like, for...
Every book, read the book.
For 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, you could probably read... You could probably just read the summary and get away with it. But I will say, with books like that, it's like his stories actually do illustrate the points. So you can... His books are really good because it shows you a real-life situation where you would apply those principles. And those are more memorable than straight principles. You know what I mean? So Patrick Lencioni is... I have a toss-up with him because I like his stuff. But anyway, you should go to getequipped.us. It's run by Ablaze. So it's a really solid group of people, and they you guys should sign up so that this amazing service can keep going. I should reach out to them and ask them if they want to sponsor the show, because I just kind of gave them free pub.
We just gave a whole sponsor for free. I might cut that out of the podcast.
I won't
we
tell them.
Paid for it. Yeah.
Well, no, if they make more money, that means I get to keep making money with them. So
That's true. Business, baby.
Yeah, because if they go kaplutz, I don't get to write a book summary every month. In fact,
Where are they going?
Kaplutz. I don't get to write a book summary in November and December because they're like, we need to focus on client acquisition. I was like, crap.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
We have three questions that have rolled in to the Facebook group.
Incredible.
Do you want to just tackle these?
Sure.
Not even in a 10-minute topics fashion, but just in a we'll go at them however we want to kind of fashion.
Sure. Perfect. Is one of the questions, why don't you have a Discord yet?
Let's talk about that. I'm going to say again what I said before the show. One of our faithful listeners and Scruple podcast aficionado, Regan King, reached out to us and said, hey, you guys should have a Discord. First of all, I refuse to acknowledge the Discord because I don't understand it. Second of all, I'm very actively trying to cut out noise in my life, and just the word Discord means the opposite of what I'm trying to do. And so I don't know anything about it, but if enough people write in,
you don't have to be active in the Discord for it to be
facebook.com/group/crunchcast. Tell us if you want a Discord or not. I don't know if I want it or not.
Here's my pitch for Discord. Years ago, when we were doing our Patreon tiers, I wanted, as the conventional wisdom is, give them a one-time gift and a recurring gift, right, for each tier. For the high tiers, I wanted, for the 10 and 20, I wanted to give them access to a group chat that was like Crunch, you know, Crunch Patreon.
Crunch chat.
And Discord allows you to do that, to give you like chats that are only accessible to certain members. Right. And so I think you can integrate it with Patreon so that people automatically get signed up for it and they get kicked out when they stop supporting. So for me, I would have notifications on for that chat and I would be more active in it than for the lower tiers, you know? So it's like, it's like, because when we would go to them, be like, hey, we're thinking about this thing, it would be like, you know, having a board of directors for the podcast. Like, hey, what do you guys think about us doing this? And it's our listeners who are really dedicated to the show, whose opinions really matter, because, you know, the people who've been listening to the show from the beginning and are super fans, like, I want to hear what they think about the show more than just someone who listened for the first time. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So like I would be more active in, and I think Discord is good because it's good for community building in a way that Facebook just isn't. I thought about doing GroupMe's, but GroupMe is a mess.
Oh, I would never be on that. I need to delete GroupMe from my phone. I'm actually going to do that right now.
I don't have it, and there's a GroupMe with the Pittsburgh Youth Ministers, and I'm just like, I'm not going to join it. I don't want to join it.
No, I can't. Just mute it and then people will add you to it. And then say, oh, it's in the GroupMe, and just say, I just don't check that. So if you need me, just call me.
I think I'm in it, but I'm not. I don't have
GroupMe. I don't enjoy group chats because of the propensity for them to just devolve into memes. Like, I think that is the big, which might be a plus for some people. For me, it's a huge downgrade. Like, I just really, really, like, sometimes I just want to see what people's thoughts on things are. And sometimes I just log in. It's just like, oh, here's a freaking normie meme about some about Advent about to come.
And here's why Discord sucks. Here's why Discord is good. Because
I can ban those people?
No, because it's multiple group chats on one server.
Oh.
Okay. So
that's so much to keep track of.
Here's what you do. I did this for our youth ministry and it worked really well. I made a memes chat so the people who wanted to post memes could post them there. And I could mute it. And it was like, hey, no memes in the main chat, please. No, just conversation. Like, let's put that in the meme chat. And like, Ask Pat was another. So it was like, I could have conversations and be like, oh, this is what, you know, this is why, you know, the Catholic Church doesn't hate gay people, you know, that sort of thing. And there was the, also the general chat that was like, I muted that as well, cause it was often ridiculous. But we had one that was just for me to post announcements, you know? So like that one is like only I can post in it. So everyone, if you need an announcement, you go to this one. Or show notes could be a chat where like we post the show notes and links from the show.
Can I tell you a legitimate problem that I have?
What's that?
This is not like, this is not
seasonal allergies.
That's true. I do have those. I need to get allergy shots. I have like a legitimate, I feel oftentimes very, very guilty.
Okay.
At the lack of my engagement with the Crunch audience.
Interesting.
I looked at our numbers the other day, just on accident. I didn't even mean to.
Nah, I've been down that road, buddy.
And they were up here, and then for like all of 2020, they were up here, and then for 2021, they were down here.
Yeah, right? I don't know why.
Which is fine. I'm not in this for the numbers, but when I don't have a Twitter account, and I'm not actively on Facebook, I'm not really on Instagram, I'm not on anything where I can promote this podcast. The goal is not to just get more followers all the time, but also I want to love and care for the people that are already here, right? It appears as if people are leaving and going somewhere else, which Emma told me, she said, well, you guys are having conversations that don't really appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is fair, and I'm fine with that. But on the other hand, it's like, how do I reconcile the fact that I'm really, 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 really trying really hard to not have any extra noise or things that disturb my interior life, like in my life, which includes things like being on social media, being on Facebook, constantly checking groups, constantly posting, like all of those things that dominated my life for years and years and years. Like I'm trying to just clear out. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to care about the Crunch and I want it to be successful and I want to devote my time and energy to it. But there's also things here in Oklahoma City that I'm trying to dedicate my time and energy to, you know? So I'm like, I don't know what the right level of, like this Discord thing, right? It's like, I don't know what the right level of engagement with this particular thing is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that I really think about a lot. And I'm like, man, am I just really failing these people? Am I not honoring Patrick? Am I not honoring the listeners? I don't know.
This is a good question.
This is very meta, but I'm...
Yeah.
I think it's a legitimate question for people who are actively striving for holiness, who are in some kind of online apostolic work. Is that fair?
Yeah, like,
We can't afford to hire a Brandon Vaught who just runs all of our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where Bishop Barron just gets to pray and sit down in front of a camera and just ramble for 30 minutes and no one stops him because he's a bishop and he's old, you know?
And he's real smart.
And he's real smart. Like, we don't get to hire a guy who handles all that stuff. We actually have to do it ourselves.
I don't know, because I've been thinking about this a lot more recently, and by a lot more, maybe I shouldn't talk about this because it was like from my
weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very easily to sway. I think a lot of my life before now and before recently was I'm afraid of the brand. I'm afraid of becoming the hack, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was nothing of the faith that he didn't sell, you know? Nothing holy he didn't sell. And I don't want to be that.
No, me neither.
And I'm very afraid of becoming consumed. Although what is different now is Phoebe won't let me, you know, like,
yeah,
she's sitting right there and she's like, Patrick, why are you on Twitter? You know, like that, one of the reasons why I deleted Twitter in 2020 was because I was around Phoebe all the time. Cause I was quarantined at her in her parents' garage apartment at her house. And she was like in the house next to me and I saw her every day. And I was like, she's like, why are you on Twitter all the time? I'm like, that's a good point. I'm just going to delete it. Yeah. And similarly, you know, it's like, I don't want to be that guy that's like trying to get on stage as much as possible and like talk. And I don't want to be that guy that's like trying to get on social media and tweet all the time. But Nick Sciarappa said something amazing yesterday or on Saturday. He said, Patrick, if you do that, I'm going to punch you in the throat.
What?
He said, if you become like a jerk and like, you know, neglect yourself for the brand, you know, I'm going to punch you in the throat. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, it's good to have people around that will watch me and make sure that I don't become a jerk. Someone who will make sure, because like, I honestly, if in examining myself, I don't think my head is too big for my britches. You know what I mean? I don't think I have a very healthy ego. You and I have talked about this. We have talked about this. And there was that, you know, that episode from 2017, the worst year of my life, when I was like, I don't like myself, you know, on live on the podcast. And I've come a long way since then, 4 years ago. Crazy. But I think, like, where am I going with this?
I don't know.
You said you were worried about, you know, being too out about trying to find the balance between like a life well lived and a life of an apostolate. And I'm like, how do I balance
online apostolate specifically?
How do I balance? And I'm thinking like, how do I balance online and like a more public apostolate with, you know, the fact that I'm afraid of pride and bad things. And I think you're afraid of social media addiction. It's like, how do you balance that with woe to me if I do not preach the gospel? You know what I mean? It's like that. So
here's my problem. I love that Nick Sciarrapo is going to punch you in the throat, but I was on social media for years and years and years and years, almost constantly, always on Twitter, always tweeting, always super on top of everything, promoting the podcast, doing all these things, trying to generate buzz, trying to get speaking gigs, all these things. No one punched me in the throat.
Yeah, you know? But like you weren't like, married.
Yes, but even now, I mean, if you and I are being honest with ourselves, there are ways that we can super hyper get plugged into all this stuff without our wives ever knowing about it. You know?
Fair. They'd know about it eventually.
Yes, they would. But I can hide a whole lot of media usage from my boss, from my wife, from my friends.
Yeah.
I've gotten very, very good at it because it was literally an addiction for me for years and years and years, right? And it's the same as anything, same as alcohol and drugs and all this stuff. It's like, if you need to get your fix, you're going to get your fix however you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, maybe I'm just coming from trying to recover from a legitimate addiction place.
Sure, yeah.
But
which might mean that you can't.
Right. And that's the hard thing, is because I want to, like, I desire so much to really like know these people who listen to us every single week, to really give them something that's going to edify them, to grow this podcast in such a way that it benefits as many people as possible and we can preach the gospel to as many people as possible, to continue to grow our friendship in a deeper and deeper way. But I'm worried because it's all on this box on my desk.
Yeah.
That it's going to suck me into something that like takes me away from this community thing that we're trying to build and from my marriage and from my job and from my own personal holiness and my own sense of interior peace and my interior life and my interior conversation with the Lord. Cause that's just all it's ever been for me. Like, I don't know if it's possible for me to baptize this, you know, which makes me like not, it makes me stay at a distance. And so when Regan comes up and is like, hey, you gotta do a Discord, I'm like, no, get it away. Like, this is bad for me.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, is it possible or do I just need to acknowledge that like, I'm only ever going to be the guy who hops on, edits the podcast, uploads it, posts in the Facebook group every once in a while. And then that's it, you know? So I'm fine with being that.
That but, might be it.
Yeah. It just sucks. Cause like,
yeah,
I feel like the people deserve more, but at the same time, like Emma deserves more than these people. And the people in Oklahoma City deserve more than the people online because
there's a hierarchy.
Here and I can, there's a hierarchy. It's hard, you know? Yeah.
We were just talking, the reason why I brought up Nick was because we were talking about it. This hierarchy with, we were talking about this hierarchy last weekend.
Yeah.
About, you know, like, cause this happens when you work in ministry, you get addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And I was telling my team about this today. I was like, you know, there's something that youth ministers don't want to tell you is there's a lot of glamour to youth ministry.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We don't like talking about it because we like,
nobody will talk about
it. We like glamorizing the sleep deprivedness and the, you know, oh, I eat poorly and blah, 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 blah.
The pizza.
But there's a part of
youth group games.
Yeah.
Steubenville Conference.
There's a part of you that's like, hooray, nobody liked me in high school, and now all these high schoolers like me. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, there's a real like woundedness that I've seen in youth ministers that's like, you're way too attached to your high schoolers. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, I have a hard time ministering to the kids who are similar to the kids who were mean to me in high school, you know?
Yes.
But it's like, and it's you really have to confront that, because they need the gospel too, you know? But it's like there, and you can get addicted to youth ministry, and there's like a hierarchy though, because it's like, you're not going to get sanctified the bigger your youth group is. You're going to get sanctified by like loving your wife and your kids. And we have this other thing. We have this other thing that is kind of lower than all the other things, mm-hmm. but it's the most people, you know, there's a lot of people.
Yeah. Right. I mean, even if our download numbers are lower than every other Catholic podcast that exists.
And it's not. Like I don't know if you know this, Ethan, but we're in the top 5% of podcasts.
That's kind of crazy.
Did you know that? Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
No, we are. We're in the top 5%. The podcasts that you're thinking of right now that are a lot bigger than us are in the top 1% of podcasts. Hmm. Yeah. There's just so many that like a little podcast like ours is actually a very big success. And in the words of a good friend of ours who is an expert on podcasting, he's like, yeah, you guys are a big deal. So like, to our audience, sorry, we've been underselling ourselves. I guess you guys are a lot. There are
so, like,
a lot of you.
What's the proper way then to engage with this thing? If you're just like,
I think we gotta hire someone. I think we gotta just keep trying things until we find something that fits. Like, I don't know if Facebook is working. I do think the post comment structure is a little weird, and it's not good for.
Yeah, it's not good for what.
It's not good for community building, because everyone's on an unequal footing, because there's a social cost to posting.
Yes.
There's not a,
if I post and no one comments, then that, oh gosh, you know,
it hurts.
If I comment, no one likes it.
Yeah. There's a social cost to posting, and it's possible that a Discord would just be better. Plus, maybe. You know, people speak the language of a Discord. There's more Discord users out there than Facebook group users.
Is that true?
Yeah, there are.
Discord's that big.
Everyone's on Discord. Yeah. Like every Twitch streamer has a Discord, and it's connected to their Twitch. Every podcaster has a Discord now.
Really?
Yeah, it's huge. People speak the Discord language. I mean, when I told my teens that we had a Discord, they were like, okay, cool, what's the confirmation code? And I'm like, you guys are children. How do you know? Like, I just learned what this is today. That is something that I've known, though, that people are moving away from closed garden social media into singular personal social media like WhatsApp and WeChat. That's one from China. But because it offers them the benefits of Facebook without the ridiculousness of Facebook. But now you can join like private. There are problems with Discord in the same way there's problems with Facebook, in that you can create insular communities where you just spread radicalizing propaganda, which is, we just won't do that in our Discord.
I mean, we might.
Well, we might. Everyone who comes out of the Discord will be a post-liberal through and through. Just post-liberal, a post-liberal that can do something about it.
Post-liberal saint is what we're trying to create. Saintly post-liberals.
I don't know, man. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think, in fact, it's a very good thing to turn something like a podcast from something that is just you and me in a Volkswagen bus talking and everyone around us laughing at how funny we are, into something where we present a conversation and then that conversation continues elsewhere.
Yes.
I think people would enjoy that. Forgive me for speaking for you in front of you, the people. But I would love to be able to say, hey, what do you think about our conversation about getting mad at history? Please post in the Discord about this. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please join our Discord if we made you upset and you want to talk about it.
Right.
You know? You know who would love that? Our good old pal. No, wait, no, seriously. This is something that Katie Ruvi was telling me about. I don't know how to pronounce her full last name, but that's her Discord name or her Twitch name. Mm-hmm. She was like, I just really want to talk to somebody about this, but none of the moms in the pickup line will talk to me about about post-liberalism, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
And so, you know, people will post, but I do think the problem with the Facebook group is that there is a high cost to posting. That might be the problem, a social cost.
It's just crazy. It's like, I look at the numbers, I'm like, there's 300 people in here. Why does nobody ever say anything? Like, I know you guys are all checking Facebook every day. Everybody says that they don't, but I know you do.
Oh, I do.
You know?
I do. Like, I check it just in case there's a notification bell. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that notifies me anymore is the Facebook group, but that's it.
Yeah.
I do check it every day, more than I would like to admit.
Interesting. Interesting. It's all about taking the technology we have. This is, I'm definitely going to read more of Ivan Illich in the next couple of months, because I just, in the 10 pages that I've read of this essay that I will do a podcast on in the future, but not now, because I've only read a quarter of it and I'm going to learn from my mistake. The idea of something being a convivial tool, like something that brings people together and allows them to pursue virtue and fulfillment and agency and have like a lot of value use out of a tool, rather than something that is just an industrial commodity or something that's mandated by the market, you know?
Yeah.
Like Facebook is kind of this market mandated thing, you know? Maybe Discord is something that's more convivial. I don't know. But the hard thing about technology for me is I see it all as like... It's one big thing to me, because it's all so easy for me to just stumble, trip, and fall into it.
No, and it is true that is the problem with technology, is that it's like, because it exists, you must adopt it. Because it exists, mm-hmm. you need to get it. You need to get Snapchat right away because it's new and everyone's on it.
Yeah.
But no one, we don't adopt these things with serious thought. And then once we adopt them, we don't reflect. And so like, I think what we're doing now is we're reflecting on our Facebook page, which has been going on for about a year now. And I don't know if it's doing what we wanted it to do. And so we'll have to move it. And that sucks, because it's hard to migrate an audience. You know, our Discord's not going to be at 300 people tomorrow.
No.
But it's hard to migrate an audience. And if Facebook was open source, we would be able to, and it would be cool. And if Facebook was, I wrote an article about this on my blog recently, patnevy.blog. And that has an email integration, which has been working quite nicely. I get really good engagement on those emails, which is like, it means that that's how people like receiving that stuff. But I think it's about time we turn the podcast from, you know, a thing that we do to like an mm-hmm. actual community, and not a community that, not in a community in like the branding sense where like The Gap is trying to create a community. I mean like an actual community where we like talk about our faith and, you know, because that's what I liked about Twitter. That's what was good about Twitter. I had friends on there.
I had friends on there.
You know, I did a whole tweet thread about it the other day. I was like, I miss mm-hmm. Kyle, and I miss Carrie, and I miss Tommy, and I miss Jake and these people that I would meet and talk to. And I miss like when Jake tweeted something at me that has revolutionized my prayer life at the time. And I used that line to comfort a teenager this weekend because she was sad that she wasn't perfect yet. I was like, your final perfection is not in this life. He said that to me like 3 years ago, and I think about it all the time. And it's like mm-hmm. Twitter has benefited my spiritual life, but it's like, how do I get that benefit without the cost? You know,
yeah.
Or at least as much cost, because I'm willing to pay something. I'm willing to pay some of my time, and I was telling you, I'm willing to pay, you know, $2.99 a month if everybody has to pay $2.99 a month to be on Twitter, because mm-hmm. you know, no one's gonna create a dummy Twitter account for $2.99 a month.
Yes,
unless they're selling something.
Yeah.
So maybe they will.
Yeah, I think the cost is too high for me, and I think it's gonna stay that way for most things. And I think that's a fine default position.
Just recognize your boundaries going into Discord, and just recognize when you're transgressing them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because like, it is a texting group chat. That's what it is.
Yes, it is. But it's on my computer, so it's fine. The thing that I'm afraid of, when Jonathan Blevins was interviewed on Catching Foxes, I hated that interview. I thought it was.
Oh, really?
It was awful. Yes, because it just... It spoke to all these things, and it was such like a, I don't hate Jonathan Blevins. I don't hate Catching Foxes, just to clarify, but I just really disagree with everything that they were advocating for as good, right? Like the whole idea of quitting your job in ministry so that you can be a full-time streamer is just the most bonkers, backwards, non-Christian thing to me. Like, it does not make any sense. And that's from a particular worldview and a particular set of experiences and a particular set of wounds. And so like, I can't project that onto everybody.
Yeah.
But I think sacrificing your in-person job with in-person people for a job where you play video games, and sometimes people talk about the faith and it's really cool and it's pre-evangelization, that it's just nonsense. Like, that is not a, it's not real. That's a fake job. It's totally bonkers. And so all these guys were like, they were gushing. Luke and Gomer were gushing about, like, you mean you just get to stay home and play video games and talk to people and, like, you set your own hours and you just hang out with your kids? It's like they were just losing their minds.
That's all the appeal of youth ministry.
Yeah. Just it was like, I was like, you guys are just indulging all of your fantasies and claiming that it's pre-evangelization, which is a lot of what ministry is in a lot of places, if we're being honest.
That's true. That is true.
That's
John, I've talked to John about this before, and
I'm sure he's a great guy who has good intentions. I don't doubt his sincerity.
No, he's good, and there's like there's real ministry there in the same way that we're doing a real ministry. By creating a community, if we create a community, in the same way that we're doing like real community, I think pre-evangelization is a real thing, and like integrating talking about Catholicism into something as banal as streaming is interesting and cool and good.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's just a novelty, you know.
I think you're right. My critique of that of John and Twitch is that everybody needs to. He says everybody needs to do it. He's like every podcaster needs to be on Twitch.
No, I don't.
I think that he has. And I guess I don't feel bad critiquing him about this because he's said this very publicly several times. He said it at CYMC, which I was like, holy butts. Anyway, but my one consolation was that this room full of like 30-year-old, 50-year-old, 40-year-old youth ministers, they're not going to start a Twitch. I did try Twitch Bible study over the quarantine because of that, and it wasn't bad, but it also didn't do much more than a group chat on Google Hangouts. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
My one critique of him is that everybody needs to do it. I don't think everybody needs to do it. I might do Twitch because I think it might be fun.
Sure.
But I would also, it was the same reason why I would do a live radio show. You know what I mean? I love doing, I love talking and responding to people in real time.
Yeah.
And just people being forced to listen.
All of the things about how like, oh, this is my community and I really care about them. And like when I meet people in person, they tell me their username. It's like, oh, this is awesome. And it's like becoming real life. And it's like, yeah, I guess. You know,
it's crazy that we're back like, to usernames.
It is crazy.
Everything's anonymized again.
I just wonder, like, do you know the person that lives next to you?
Twitch
do you
is
know
crazy.
The people in your parish, like you're dedicating all this time playing video games, which is just not a good use of your time in general, you know,
sure.
So that you can have an excuse to pull people in who are already like, yes, I understand. We gotta be where the people are. But how many people are just inside their homes watching Twitch because all of the Catholic ministers around them just started Twitch channels to stream to other people who are in their homes watching Twitch elsewhere in the country? You know, like, what if we all just talk to the people that were near us?
We have
created
the metaverse. We have become the metaverse.
Yeah, like, no one would have to use Twitch in that case. But, like, we're accepting the culture on its terms instead of confronting the culture with the terms of the gospel and saying, no, this is what we have to do.
If you want to talk more about this, a great episode you should listen to is the episode that you were not in with me and Leah Murphy from a couple of years ago. We had this conversation because she gave a talk at that same COIMC about the modern Areopagus, which is the place where St. Paul preached, Mars Hill. No relation. The modern Areopagus, and she talked about social media as the modern Areopagus, and she was like, I am the social media director for LifeTeen. Am I complicit in young people's social media addictions?
Yes.
And
answer daily double yes.
What I saw was like, she's like, everything that we post should be stop the scroll. Like, get them off of social media. Like, everything we post should be stop the scroll. And I think I've noticed that idea take hold in LifeTeen's the way they're doing blogging now. They're not doing blogs targeted towards teenagers anymore, which I think is a good thing because we're teenagers reading those blogs. Now they're doing them targeted towards youth ministers. Now LifeTeen is tweeting targeting youth ministers and giving them resources instead of trying to be a teenage brand, which I think is good. I think it's very good because it's feeding into the culture, like you were saying. Like, how many teens are like, oh yeah, I have a faith community. I follow at Catholic Anon and Bro Apostle on Twitter, and they tweet not only their Bible thoughts from Mass today, or live tweeting their girlfriend's Protestant service.
You're really getting a little specific there.
Well, I was anonymous back then. They're live tweeting like their thoughts on why Protestantism is bad. And, you know, they're not going to their youth ministry or they're not going to their parish and, like, joining the Knights of Columbus like a good and faithful son of the church.
Which is what
everyone should do. Sponsor us.
Sponsor us, Knights of Columbus.
Do it. Do it.
You know that you want
to. You know you want to. Let the crunch flow through you.
But did you have a larger point there?
My larger point was, you're right.
Thanks. It hurts because I don't want to, like, again, going back to Ivan Illich being just man who yells at cloud, like,
yeah,
that's how I feel. And that's how people treat me
sure.
in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Like, and so I've had to develop a pretty thick skin, but you just hear, I don't want to claim that I'm better than everybody because I'm definitely a media addict in recovery, right? Like that is my life. And so yes. I'm not trying to say that I'm better than anybody because at any moment I could slip back into it and be right where I was,
sure, you know,
right where a lot of people are. But I hear people who are faithful Catholic people who are claiming to really be working for the gospel. And I don't doubt their sincerity, but the words that they are using are the things that I told myself when I was spending hours and hours a day on Reddit and Twitter and YouTube.
When you told me that you couldn't focus unless you got a tweet out and then you could go back and study.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. Like,
sorry, I still think about that sometimes.
I do too, because it's crazy. Like when you tell me that, no, this is my community and they really love me and they really care about me and I have to be there for them or else they won't have any connection to the church. Like, yes, they will.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's everywhere. The Catholic Church is everywhere. It's the bride of Christ, mm-hmm. and it contains every baptized person. You know, like it's just like I just really struggle because I see all those things and I just see the like little twist of the lie in there. And I want to root that out. But then people come back to me and say like, well, why aren't you using every possible means to evangelize? Why are you being like, you're just trying to be a what are the people? Who are the people that destroyed the looms in Germany?
Oh, a Luddite.
A Luddite, right? You're just being a Luddite. And it's
Luddites who were opposed to the Industrial Revolution? How dare they?
How dare they?
How dare
they? Love them. I love them. I miss them.
I'm sorry. The Luddites who, if they had succeeded, we wouldn't have to have child labor laws because we would just be like, well, duh. Yeah, those guys. They suck.
Mad about history.
Our technocratic history books told us the Luddites were wrong. The Luddites did nothing wrong.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it just sucks to I feel like I'm being gaslighted by everybody who's online doing Catholic ministry.
And I mean, I think it's partially because, like, you know, there's that little secret part of us that's like, well, but I like when people follow me and I like when I get a tweet that has a bunch of likes. And guess what?
Right.
There are likes on Discord, but I'm pretty sure you might be able to disable them. And there's mm-hmm. no ranking mm-hmm. in Discord. It's just like, instead of everybody have a platform and the people who are higher on the platform are going to talk to the people who are lower on the platforms. It's just, mm-hmm. hey, let's put everybody into a place and let's talk to each other. And that becomes a supplement to your actual community as opposed to mm-hmm. like a replacement, a proxy for your community. And I think there's something to be said where it's like when you go through periods in your life when you don't have community, which happens, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can lean on that community by proxy.
Yes.
And you can use it to get through those times and talk to people that you trust, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's easier to be like, well, you know what? This is my only place for community because you're kind of been like coaxed there by the fact that Twitter is designed mm-hmm. to keep you on it.
To keep you on it, yeah. There's no...
I don't...
Unless everybody who's on these platforms is pushing everybody else to go out and meet their neighbors and meet the other people in their parishes, then I just see it as like a faulty thing because then it just becomes, well, yeah, go out, but also make sure you come back and watch my streams and also make sure you come back and like my tweets and also make sure you come back and listen to my podcasts, you know?
Yeah.
Which is why it's like everyone kind of hates Matt Frad because he's getting a bit too right wing or whatever, but like I love the fact that he says every single episode that he releases, stop listening to my show, please. You know what I mean?
Like that's awesome.
I respect the hell out of that because it's just... I know that, yes, he might be getting too into this side or the other thing, but I know he's honest and he's really wanting the spiritual good of all the people who are listening.
What does
he
say exactly? Let's steal it.
He said, I think you'd be better off if you never listened to my podcast or watch another YouTube video ever again.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which
probably does.
He said it enough times and here we go. And Ethan doesn't have Spotify on his phone anymore. Oof. So
my goal is to make myself irrelevant, which is unironically my job as a youth minister. And
that's true.
And a parent.
Yes,
I've told my family by this point, so who cares?
Big facts.
You know,
attaboy.
What?
I said attaboy.
We're just going to skip over that part. People are going to be like, clip it back. Like, hold on. Did he say? Yeah, anyway. It
doesn't wait a minute. What?
Like, my job as a youth minister is to make myself irrelevant in my kids' faith life. It's like, yep, mm-hmm. Patrick was really great at the beginning. And then I soared and I found my own community with people who understand me and, like, are in my area of the corner of the world. And, you know, that's what I want. And so eventually stop listening to this podcast.
Right,
I think a lot of people have stopped listening that don't need to anymore.
That's good.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people who are listening just to, you know, see what's going on. That's great. And keep doing it. But there are a lot of people who are like, this podcast really got me through the pandemic when I was missing my community. And you know what? Maybe that's why we got more listens in 2020. And maybe that's all we needed. That's the highest we'll ever get. And that's fine. That's fine.
That's fine.
Maybe after 2020, people were like, you know what? I was listening to podcasts the whole time, and instead of hearing Patrick and Ethan talk, I'd rather go talk to other people. Cool. Go Great. Do that. Yeah. Go nuts. Please join your Newman Center. Please join the Knights of Columbus. Please start a small group at your local ministry. Go to Impact Resources, impact-resources.org.
Listen to last week's podcast.
Listen to last week's podcast and stop listening to our podcast. Anyway, I don't know. Use this as long as it... And I mean, some... I don't know. I should probably stop listening to podcasts too. But then I feel weird because I make one.
I don't feel weird about
it.
Oh,
you don't?
Because what I do is I don't listen to any podcasts, but I get on and I talk to my friend Patrick, who I love very dearly, and we have a great conversation, and it edifies me spiritually, and it forces me to continue to form myself and think critically about the things that I'm doing or not doing in my life. Some people glean some kind of benefit from it. And it's like, it's up to them to listen or not listen, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't think you're a bad person if you listen to podcasts. I just think that my interior life is harmed if I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the case for everyone all the time.
Wow.
You know,
nuance.
Speaking of nuance, you want to do a Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner real quick?
I really do. We have not done a meta episode in a long time, and I think...
This was good.
This was
healing
helpful.
For me.
Yeah, we can title it The State of the Podcast.
State of the Pod.
And then people will be like, oh no, I got to listen to this episode. Is it ending? Is my favorite Catholic podcast with my
the
favorite...
The crunch is over.
With my favorite now. E-list Catholic celebrities.
E-list. E for Ethan.
E for Ethan,
Ethan
baby.
The E-list crunch. And P-list.
Oh baby.
I was on the P list in elementary school. Yeah, they got me.
Let's go.
I know it hurts.
I'm sorry.
All right, you came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Remaining anonymous. My friend
Patrick, you want to tell us who sponsors this segment?
Shoot. Dang it. Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, sponsored by Catholic Match. If you have a dating question that is 5 years or older, I'm just kidding. My favorite part about this segment is that it's sponsored by Catholic Match. You can follow at Catholic Match on Instagram. You can sign up for a free online dating profile, which is probably better for you. Sign up for a free online dating profile at catholicmatch.com/thecrunch. There's no discounts. It's a free profile. But if you go to that URL, catholicmatch.com/thecrunch, they will know that we sent you. Ethan, are you ready for the first Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner of the evening?
Absolutely. We're doing more than one?
I don't know. Maybe.
All right.
Warning, long, read only when low on content.
Well, that's us, baby. We just talked about our podcast for an hour, so you know that we're low
on
content.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Okay, was this a date or not? And questions. Dear Ethan and Pat.
Hello.
I'm afraid I may have gone on a coffee date without knowing it. I am a 19-year-old girl attending community college part-time. This person listens. I really don't know anyone there. She spelled G-O-R-L for girl.
Okay.
I don't really know anyone there, mainly because I am not on campus very often. I met this one guy, insert an arbitrarily biblical name. What name are we giving him? Jehoshaphat, because he came
up. I was going to say Naphtali.
Jehoshaphat works. Jehoshaphat. I met this one guy, Jehoshaphat, because he came up to me in the library and just started a conversation. A week later, the same thing happens, and this time Jehoshaphat asks me what I'm doing later that day. I wasn't doing anything, so we walk around for a bit and end up at a coffee shop on campus. He did not pay for my drink, but did link arms with me while walking into the coffee shop. Sounds like a Jehoshaphat. Oh. I've never been on a coffee date before due to my sheltered homeschooled upbringing. So I was a little taken aback.
Also, you're 19.
You're 19. Wait, what does that mean?
Just she's young.
Oh.
You know, like, yeah, that's fair. I don't expect you to be being on tons 19. Of coffee dates.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're 19.
He did not explicitly say date, so I'm not entirely sure if he likes me like that. I have three questions. One, I do not want to date this person. Well, that sounds like a
question. That
sounds
question.
Like an answer. I do not want to date this person. I'm not planning on staying at this college, and this guy is not Catholic. I don't really want to date someone who isn't Catholic, but my mom started dating my dad when he was an atheist, and now he's one of the best Catholics I know. When is it okay to date someone who isn't Catholic?
Oh, wow.
Is
that the first question?
Question that's one. Question? Yeah, it's a whole question. Wow. Question two out of three. I am a tall person, like 6 feet.
Again, not a question.
My mom is taller than my dad. So I'm used to the idea of the girl being taller than the guy. Again, she spelled it G-R-L. But this guy is like 5'7". Not trying to think about his height. He usually doesn't bother me. But I want to know the guy's perspective on dating a girl who's taller than them. Can I still be friends with this person? That is question number three, and it is a question. I like hanging out with them. We share a sarcastic sense of humor. Yeah, you'll grow out of it. Mm. And he is the kind of person who isn't afraid of breaking social norms and just walking up to people and asking how their day is going. That's cool.
Is that a social norm to not ask people?
I think it is. I think a social norm is to pretend you don't care about anything so you aren't vulnerable and you won't get hurt.
I love guys who break social norms like eye contact and smiling.
Unironically, that's true though. We do love an eye contact king. and we went just walking up to people, ask how that he's going. But if he wants to date me, is there no chance at friendship? Question mark. Thank you for your prognosis. Again, definitely an ironic one because we talk about that word all the time. And Gigantica, that's what we're calling her. That's funny.
All right. So Mose from Ned's Declassified wrote in. You got a real Ned Bigby situation on your
hands. Ned Bigby, famous atheist, Ned Bigby.
Can you imagine how much better that show would be if Ned was just a super staunch atheist and Mose with this like evangelical Protestant girl and Cookie was Jewish and we just got to laugh and laugh and laugh at all of their hijinks.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about the post-credit scene where like Ned Bigby goes on like rants about how your imaginary sky fairy friend invented evolution, you know? Oh my god.
Hi, I'm Ned Bigby. Here's a couple tips on what to do when your friend is celebrating Ramadan. Number one, always carry a bottle of water in your backpack. Number two, don't ask them how many dates they're eating for dinner that night. They'll start to salivate. Number three. Stupid. I'm done.
Ned Bigby is the Bill Maher kind of atheist where he's also like, he's like kind of racist against Muslims. Anyway.
Yeah. excuse me.
Please edit that out.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
I will. This is a couple burps there. So the first question was, I don't want to date this guy. I think
Please don't.
Like, if you don't like him, he might have a good sense of humor. There's lots of guys who have good senses of humor that no one should ever date. Two of them are on this podcast.
When is it okay to date someone who isn't Catholic? I'm not sure, but it's definitely not when you don't want to date them.
When you don't like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't want to date them, it's not okay to date them, especially because...
If you have no natural desire towards this man's intellect, will, or passions, then I would boot scoot boogie out of this thing. That's the easy thing. Everyone's like, I don't know what to do. Do you like him? If the answer is no, you don't have to worry about it, right?
Yeah, it's actually super easy.
Done.
You just have to worry about the second.
David Allen says, if you can do something in 2 minutes or less, you should do it right now. I'm going to tell you, you know the answer. You don't need to defer this. You don't need to delegate this. You just need to do it. You need to decide it.
There's
and then
so
move on.
Many hand motions going on. I wish you could see this. And they're all mirroring each other. He's doing like that thing that people do when they like make a box around their heads, you know?
Right. Hire me for your next parish mission, and I will do as many hand motions as your priest requires. So that's number one, is you don't have to worry about it. Number two, it doesn't, if the guy is confident enough to ask you out and you're 6 foot, whatever, if you're a Mose and he's a Ned, just respect it. Respect the game. Doesn't matter if he's short, right? I think short kings need to find a place in this world.
Yeah, you know? Short kings.
Napoleon did a lot.
Yeah.
From 5 foot six.
And he was married, you know? I think, probably.
He was married. He had a horse.
What? What? Are you implying he was married to his horse?
No. I was saying he was married, period. Paragraph. He had a horse.
Unrelated sentence. He had
totally
a horse.
Totally unrelated. Yes. I think if you're... I don't think height is a reason to not date or marry or anything.
Sure. Yes.
I think it's cool. I don't think that matters. Number three.
You and Emma are like exactly the same height, right?
Yeah, which is perfect. Number three, what's the question? Oh, number three was, can we still be friends? Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, sorry.
Probably not. Especially if he's not Catholic. It's like hard enough to be friends with someone who doesn't believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and left an unbreakable, unbreachable tradition throughout the last 2,000 years of history. It's hard enough to be friends with people who don't agree with that, let alone someone who has a sarcastic sense of humor. So, yeah. I think if they like you and you don't like them back,
that's hard too.
Right. I think if he asks you out again, just say, don't hit him with the let's just be friends. Just hit him with the I'm planning on transferring. I'm not really looking for a lot of guy friends right now.
Also, I don't like you.
Also, I don't like you. Please don't ask me out again. If you could throw up on his shoes.
No. She doesn't need to throw up on his shoes. Throw up on the top of his head because he's so short.
Because he's so short. I feel bad for this
poor guy. He's not going to listen to the podcast. If he is, he's going to convert. I don't know. Join our Discord.
It's not your job to convert people.
This means that...
That's the Holy Spirit's job.
This means that Regan has to set up the Discord by the time this episode drops on Sunday so that people can join the Discord.
Oh, wow.
What?
I just got a long question on the Crunch podcast, which maybe we'll do next week. Why is the Catholic Church as an institution often unwelcoming to Protestants? And why is it so hard for Protestants who genuinely want to learn about the Catholic Church to do so? He sent us an email a while back.
Oh.
Apparently. His name's Will. We should really respond to his email and be his friend. All right. Next week's podcast will be about that.
Cool. It's going to be a while until next week's podcast because I'm going on vacation and I'm leaving my microphone and my podcasting machine. My microphone at home. So I will not be able to podcast, but I will have a podcasting machine with me. So I need to get a microphone. Emergency microphone. Nice. And break glass in case of podcasting emergency. Oh, man. So, check out the show notes.
You have not had one podcast. You have had five podcasts.
Check out the show notes for our Discord link and then join our Discord.
Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Hold on. This is a lot of editing right at the end, but I promise it'll be worth it.
Okay.
And the Lord said, remove the stone. And they said to him, Lord, it has been 4 days. By now, there will be a podcast.
Okay. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you all next week.
Was it worth the wait?
It was.
Hooray! I finally got one!